From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made January 1st when three local municipalities will adopt renewable energy programs. Community choice aggregation allows communities to select 100% renewable electricity at fixed lower prices than they would pay for electricity provided by fossil fuels. At the start of the new year, the town of Brighton will become the first community in Monroe County to source 100% renewable power for the entire town. The Village of Victor, the city of Canandaigua, will also adopt programs. How much do you know about community choice aggregation? What should you know? And by the way, do the promises work out? I mean, if we're actually talking about lower prices for electricity provided by something that's not fossil fuels, why would we not do it? And is there a catch here? Is there something we're not understanding here? Do you want to see this in your community? Our guests this hour help us understand how it all works and why they think it will benefit residents. We'll also talk about the long-range renewable energy goals and how this fits in. Let's welcome our guests now. Sue Hughes-Smith is a member of Rocktricity and someone who's been doing climate education for a long time. Sue, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Also, hello to the Brighton Town Supervisor, Bill Maley. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Evan. Always great to be here.
The mayor of the Village of Victor is Gary Haddon. Hello, Gary. Thanks for being with us.
Hello, Evan. Thank you very much for having me today.
You got it. And the Canandaigua City Manager is John Goodwin. John, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Sue, let's just kind of start with an overview here. Before we kind of get into each individual municipality, let's talk about what the overall goals here are and, you know, how it sort of relates to recent conversations we've had on this program, how you see it working. Go ahead.
Sure. So community choice aggregation is an approved program by New York State. The rules are set by the Public Service Commission. And the goal is to use it as a tool, at least from our perspective, is to use it as a tool to accelerate the adoption of renewable energy across the state. So what we've done locally is gone out to bid for 100% renewable electric supply. So the communities involved will be purchasing 100% renewable New York electric supply. And the price is at a rate that is lower than RG&E's variable rate over the previous 24 months. So, and it's much lower than what any individual could get if they were to go on the market themselves, you know, through the retail avenues available just to individuals. So the aggregated price is a really great deal for a fabulous product, and we're super excited about it.
You know, frankly, it all sounds pretty easy. It sounds like lower prices, better deal, more leverage, better for the environment. Everyone wins. We all get a chocolate sundae. What am I missing, Sue?
I don't think you're missing anything, Evan. I think it is a great deal all the way around. What people should recognize, though, is this is a fixed rate. So over the next 24 months, beginning in January, the supply rate will not change. It will stay at just under 4.3 cents per kilowatt hour, whereas when RG&E is purchasing on our behalf, they have to purchase, because the rules are different, they have to purchase and pass that rate on to us each month, so it can vary. So in any one particular month, you know, one rate may be higher or lower than the other, but we are hoping, because this is not a guarantee, but we are expecting that over the 24 months of the program that there will be at least some savings for participants.
Yeah, and every time we talk about this issue, I inevitably get an email or a call from someone who says, well, what do you mean none of it is going to come from fossil fuels? What do you mean 100% renewable? How are you actually going to do that? What's the short answer to that, Sue?
Well, the short answer is that all of our kind of climate data is kind of tracked through purchasing habits. And what the programs are doing is purchasing renewable electricity in the quantity that's equal to the usage of those folks participating in it.
That's it.
Simple. Yeah. I hope it was simple. I don't know.
we'll ask our other guests in a moment how they feel about it in their own municipalities. But Sue, is this, for lack of a better question, I guess, is this the future of energy as you see it when it comes to town and village and local levels?
Well, I mean, I think this is the carrot approach, if you will, that the state is offering to municipalities, and the municipalities that adopt this approach early will have the opportunity to benefit in other ways. So we are anticipating that NYSERDA is going to offer some funding, and for communities that have implemented 100% New York State renewable CCA programs, that there will be a lot of credit given for those decisions, and it will help communities then access more state funding for other sustainability projects. So it's the carrot approach. The state is taking other actions as well, and I think, as we all know, the climate crisis is unfolding pretty rapidly, so we need to pull all the levers that we can. And I'm thrilled that these municipalities are taking the lead, and I'm really grateful.
How much are you hearing from other municipalities about wanting to get on board with stuff like this?
Well, fortunately, Evan, we are currently implementing programs of one kind or another in 10 local municipalities.
10, okay.
So 10. And the programs vary somewhat, but they're all based on creating savings and helping people access renewable electricity more efficiently. So just before I forget, if folks are in the town or village of Pittsford or the town of Irondequoit, there are community meetings coming up we would love for them to attend, and they can find that information on the Monroe Community Power website.
Monroe Community Power website if you want to check out those meetings. Bill Maley, there's a public meeting a Brighton public meeting tonight on Zoom, is that right?
Yes, there is. It's the fourth Zoom community information meeting we've had on community choice aggregation, 7 o'clock tonight. Evan, I am very excited about community choice aggregation. You asked if there's something you forgot, and there's really only one thing you forgot, and that is that for most residential and small business customers in Brighton, you're not going to have to do anything to get the benefits of community choice aggregation. You will automatically transition to community choice aggregation starting in January, and as Sue said, you will get not only a 100% renewable supply of energy, but you'll get it at a fixed price that is cheaper than the traditional energy supply. To me, that's a win-win-win, and that's why I'm so excited.
Well, Bill, is this something that is sort of a no-brainer, or are there actual drawbacks? When you talk to colleagues, is there something that we're missing here?
No, actually, I don't think there are drawbacks. You know, when we got the bid, we worked with a company, Jewel Community Power, they act as our plant administrator. They arranged for the bidding process. They have connections in the wholesale power business. And when I saw the bid come in that we selected from Source Power, I was thrilled. The pricing is great. So I don't believe there are any drawbacks. Having a fixed price, having a price that is so attractive, but most importantly, and I can't stress this enough, transitioning to renewable source energy generated here in New York, promoting the local economy, is so important. It moves the needle towards sustainability in Brighton in a way that is unprecedented. And one of our core values in Brighton is sustainability. 2 years ago, we completed our comprehensive plan. It was funded through a sustainability plan, a sustainability grant from the state of New York. And we are implementing that plan steadily, and this is a major step in implementing our sustainable plan.
Is there any sort of a common suspicion or complaint that you're getting, Bill, from constituents?
Overwhelmingly, people are excited about it. Whether they stop me out on the street or send me an email, There are questions. One of the big questions is how does it interface for people who have solar panels or who have one of the other solar existing solar plans? And generally, the answer is they coexist. Both of those plans help you get more renewable, sustainable energy at a lower price. So if there's one question that people ask, it's that interplay. Very few people. Some people are suspicious. I get it. It does sound too good to be true. And we've all been taught if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But this is a program, as Sue said. It is regulated by the New York State Public Service Commission. Particularly in Westchester County, there was a major pilot program that led to those regulations, and now almost every municipality in Westchester County is part of their community choice aggregation plan. So I think it works, and I think Brighton residents are going to be very pleased with the result.
Brighton's public meeting tonight, 7 to 8 o'clock, is on Zoom, monroecommunitypower.com/events. monroecommunitypower.com/events. I know they would love to be able to continue to answer questions if you got them. I'm going to come back to Supervisor Maley, Mayor Haddon, the city manager of Canandaigua, John Goodwin, coming up in a second. But let me grab a phone call and an email. First on the phone is Rich in Rochester. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, hi, Evan. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
I was just wanted to them to clarify what's renewables. And in this renewable, is hydroelectric also included?
I can answer that, yes. Primarily, this plan will include hydro. There may be some wind power. It does not include nuclear. It does not include natural gas, which are main components of RG&E's traditional supply.
And solar?
And it is generated in New York State.
So is Niagara Falls considered generated in New York?
Rich, repeat the question. Go ahead.
Is Niagara Falls considered generated in Niagara in New York State?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Sue, but Niagara Falls power is not included as part of the CCA.
Well, that's correct. To the caller's question, Niagara Falls is considered New York State generated electricity, but it is not a part of the CCA program that we're talking about. And that's because the demand from NYPA, which is running Niagara Falls, is already spoken for. So this is sourcing hydropower primarily from dozens and dozens of smaller hydro facilities from across New York State.
And can I ask just one quick more question about hydro?
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of dams being, closed down because they're not as productive. Is there any way to recover those dams, i.e. removing silt and stuff like that to make them more productive, or is that just cost prohibitive? I just wondered because they're already in place.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and I think the reality is it depends on location to location, the size of the dam, because the dredging would be difficult depending on the particulars of each project. The hydro facilities for the CCA program, I'm happy to report that Jewell Community Power has made a point to look for facilities that are certified by a third-party environmental entities as sustainable. And so these tend to be in-stream hydro facilities and meet very high guidelines for sustainability.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Rich?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rich. Dave wants to know, Sue Hugh Smith, how is community choice aggregation different, if at all, from community power corporations like they have in Fairport and Spencerport and other small communities, or is it the same thing?
Yeah, another great question. They are slightly different in that municipal electric, as we would describe Fairport, the lines, the wires are actually owned and maintained by the municipality. Whereas in community choice aggregation programs, the utility remains the utility. So RG&E will still maintain and service all of the lines. Their role does not change in that regard.
Okay. And different Dave, similar question, wants to know what exactly, why is it exactly more expensive than Fairport Electric? I think talking about community choice aggregation. Yeah.
Well, right. So, you know, when we pay our electric bills, we are paying RG&E, which is delivery, and we are paying for the actual electrons, which is supply, and we're paying to be a customer of RG&E. You'll notice on your bill there is a charge that's just simply there as a customer of RG&E. And that's true for all the utilities across the state, the private utilities. Municipal utilities seem to be more efficient in terms of costs, and they just have in Fairport just one price that's all inclusive. So that's the best I can probably do.
Okay. My understanding, too, is, and the previous caller asked about Niagara Falls, those municipal utilities have access to NYPA-sourced electricity from Niagara Falls at very low pricing. That power supply is no longer available for any, you know, if a municipality were want to set up their own municipal utility, it's my understanding that they would not be able to get access to that Niagara Falls power.
Okay. I agree with that, Bill. That's true. Yeah.
Okay. Let me bring in Gary Hedden, the mayor of the Village of Victor. Gary, can you explain what's going on in the Village of Victor in this regard? Kind of set the landscape for what's happening there.
Sure. Thank you, Evan. So I'll give you a little history first. Way back in 2017 is when we began this process with then the Rochester People's Climate Coalition. And Sue and Ben Frevert and Margie Pete, all who are now part of Rocktricity, showed up at a village board meeting and began to explain to us the concept of CCA. And I can tell you in that initial meeting, we talked just a minute ago, Bill did, and so forth, about skepticism. We as a board certainly were not jumping on board right away with CCA. And I don't know if we had any residents that evening at the meeting, at the board meeting, but regardless, we were hesitant. And so then they came back to see us again because I invited them back again. In 2018, and at two separate board meetings they came to, and each time they explained the process, as you heard Sue explain it, she's very well spoken and does a great job explaining things that, so you can, you know, understand them. And after those next two times that they came to our board meetings, we really began to say, wow, this is a good deal. And to your point, is it too good to be true? Me as the mayor, I said to myself, I have to vet this fully before I can be convinced it's not too good to be true. And, you know, long story short is, here we are 3 years later, and we're finally going to launch this program in January. And we are just as excited as can be about the opportunity for our residents and small businesses. And through this process, we've had several public meetings. A couple of them we got in before COVID, which were actually in-person meetings, and we've had a couple of Zoom meetings. And though we've had low participation from residents, I am very confident that this program is going to prove to be not too good to be true, but a very good deal when it comes to saving on electricity supply. And again, going a long ways toward the goal of being climate smart here in Victor.
Well, the sort of the image that you're giving us, Mayor Hedden, is the idea that there may be some natural skepticism, but when anybody spends some time studying this thing, you'll go, oh, yeah, this totally checks out. This makes sense. Where does the natural skepticism tend to start when people are expressing concerns with this?
Well, personally, I think, and I'm a person that falls in this category, it's a five-letter or whatever it is, four-letter word called change. And whenever we're introduced to change abruptly, you know, we have skepticism. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good quality to have, you know, your ability to recognize, I have to really think about this and look at this before I'll accept it. So I think that, number one, drives it. And I did have a call after our opt-out letter went out, which was just before Thanksgiving. I did get a call from a gentleman that I know very well. He's a prominent person here in the Village of Victor who's also a resident. And I got a call from him, and he was very upset that how dare we enroll him in something that, you know, he has to opt out of. And you know, he has various opinions on the program at this point, and a lot of this is negative. And I do believe, you know, he doesn't fully understand where it's all coming from. And I haven't had that personal conversation with him at this point. But and he hasn't come to any of the public forums. So, you know, I think the thing about change just triggers skepticism. And I think we can overcome that. I really do, because this is a great program, and Bill described it so well. You know, it's a win-win-win, and we're not going to, like, eliminate all the cost of energy. That would be too good to be true. But we are going to control costs and keep them as low as we can for as long as we can. And at the same time, we're going to move towards clean, renewable energy, which we know worldwide is a movement now, not just here in the Village of Victor.
And if I can jump back in, because I've had a couple people ask as well about the need to opt out. That is part of the regulatory system that was set up by the Public Service Commission. This isn't just something that we dreamed up by ourselves. The Public Service Commission, I think, recognizing the many benefits from community choice aggregation, wanted to make it as easy as possible for residents to participate. So it's those Public Service Commission regulations that say it's done on an opt-out basis. In other words, you don't have to do anything if you want it. If for some reason you do want to opt out, you can, and it's very easy to do that. But we really do. We hope that people will take that second look, overcome their skepticism. Sometimes people are skeptical of government. And I want to remind folks that this is your local government, your government that's closest to the people, you know, the folks that you're going to see at, you know, at the grocery store or out on the street. Right now, your source of power is generally decided by state government in Albany. It's state government that says RG&E is your primary supplier unless you opt out. Here with local government and under those Public Service Commission regulations, we've identified what we think is a better supplier, a sustainable supplier, a cheaper supplier, and those rules say you're in unless you opt out.
Well, but let me also ask Mayor Hedden, you know, when you say that change can be a four-letter word, or five or six, I think it's six, but maybe it's a four-letter word to people who are concerned with change. I get that. But is there also a feeling that, well, the more government's involved, the more I don't want it?
Yes, I do feel, and Bill just kind of spoke to that, you know, skepticism of government in general.
I guess I think that's the common, I don't know if the common, I don't want to oversell that to Bill's point, that will exist in various quarters. I don't want to oversell it as in that is a majority concern, but that is probably one of the more common threads of concern we've heard in talking to Lima and talking to Brockport and these communities that are looking at this. And I guess I'm wondering, Mayor, how much you think you'll have to negotiate with that concern, or if you think that will dissipate with time?
I do think it will dissipate with time, but I do think it's going to take some negotiation along the way, and we're going to have to stay on top of explaining to the public just what the particulars are about the program. And what I described before in our initial meetings with Rocktricity, you know, we had that skepticism, and we just couldn't digest everything all at once, because while it's a fairly simple overall concept, it's not simple. It's very complicated when you get into the details. And that's because you're dealing, I believe anyways, you're dealing with a volatile commodity, energy, that the prices change all the time, and the faces and the companies that are out there offering it. So it's a very challenging product for a consumer to understand the pricing of it and so forth. And I believe that in time, if I'm happy to have personal conversations with residents and business owners in the Village of Victor about the program and explain everything I can. And if I can't answer a question, Sue and her team at Rocktricity or Jewel themselves can answer questions, and they do. And it's been a very transparent process so far. We do, however, have some work to do to convince the public of it. And I think over time, we're going to get there with it, and it's going to be a great thing, and I think you'll see many other communities wanting to get on board. And before I end that, I would say, as a matter of fact, we're having discussions literally across the street from Village Hall is Town Hall. And at Town Hall here in Victor, we're having discussions with the town supervisor and the finance department and their board about them coming on board with the program. And they're very interested. So I'm hopeful.
Listeners, if you've got more questions about this, and I've got a small stack of emails on with various questions about these, well, I think about a number of different angles here. We'll get to them in our second half hour. You can call the program if you like. It's 844-295-TALK. That's toll-free, 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And the email is connections at WXXI.org. Gary Haddon is the mayor of the Village of Victor. Bill Maley, the Brighton Town Supervisor. John Goodwin, we'll talk to him in a moment about what Canandaigua is working on. And Sue Hugh Smith from Rocktricity, talking about renewable energy, community choice aggregation, and more. Coming right back on Connections. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. So let's turn to John Goodwin, the Canandaigua City Manager, for the picture of what's happening in Canandaigua. Go ahead, John.
Well, in Canandaigua, we have a very similar plans to what Victor and Brighton were talking about, is we want to be sustainable and be a leader in that. And we see community choice education as just a part of our overall programs to be a sustainable leader. One of the things that we've been working on is to meet all the 10 high action items in the NYSERDA program of the Clean Energy Communities Program. And by when we implement it, community choice aggregation, that'll give us the 10th and final, and we'll be the first and only municipality in the state to meet all 10 high action items. On top of that, we're also a certified climate smart community as well. So we've been working on sustainability issues for a while, and this is just another program to add on top.
Tell me about the kind of hesitation, suspicion that you might be encountering.
Well, it's the same type of hesitations that both the mayor and supervisor talked about, is that, you know, we're changing the energy supplier, and I think most people look at their bill and they don't look at their bill. They don't even know who they're paying or why they're paying. They're just paying it, and they know the light turns on when they turn it on. So then they get this mailer in the mail that said, hey, we're doing this, and it becomes a, you know, hey, what is this type of moment. So it's really an education effort that once people realize what we're doing, why we're doing it, you know, we get most of the buy-in. The other, you know, and I think the mayor spoke to this, is people say, well, how dare you choose this for us? And just talking to them about how the process works is really, you know, what has bought into a lot of those and got rid of that opposition.
And now going forward, do you feel like the communication has been pretty good, John? And do you feel now that It sounds to me like listening to Gary and Bill and so many other local leaders that once communication is happening, there's a lot more, I think, goodwill. How do you feel about that?
Well, and that's one of our core values is responsive participatory governance. And that's what we've been trying to do. You know, this program didn't, start overnight. This has been years, multiple public meetings and, multiple meetings just like Brighton's having tonight on Zoom. We had this over a couple of years. And, sending out this mailer to every resident and getting them the information, I must say that's probably connecting with more people than our meetings, unfortunately. But it is connecting to people and getting that education. And I think that is the key to making this program successful.
If people want to opt out, we always hear this question, too. If they want to opt out, can they, John?
Well, of course, and we make it easy for them. In the mailer they got, there's a card with a already, with a stamp that's envelope with already a stamp on it, and they can just mail it back in. And they could call the number that's on that flyer, or they can go to Gateway Community Power. We try to make it easy for them to opt out if they so choose, but we think it's worth. Giving it a try, seeing how it works, and realizing the savings, but more importantly, realizing that the energy that you're turning your light on with is coming from a 100% renewable source.
All right, let's work through listener questions, and we're going to start on the phones with John in Brighton. Hi, John, go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I had a question about the cost. When I kind of looked into this, and it's already been said, that the cost or Brighton is less per kilowatt hour than the prior 2 years on average of RG&E's cost. Yet, lately, I think the cost of RG&E has gone down, maybe because of demand being less with less businesses open and so forth. So my question is really, how are you sure that the residents are actually going to end up having a savings compared to going forward, the cost of RG&E?
I'd love to jump. If I could.
Go ahead, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Great. A couple of points. One is you're right that the over the previous year, RG&E's rates, as are the other utilities, have been at historic lows. And no one in the energy industry is expecting that to last. So on the one hand, the futures markets are looking like they're trending back up. But, of course, that's not a guarantee. But the second point is people really need to look carefully at their RG&E bill, because how you determine the price to compare the CCA rate to is confusing. And we just got our RG&E bill in the mail, and there is a supply rate listed, but you also have to include the merchant function charges that are listed below it. So when you add, there are three things that are listed on RG&E's bill, and when you add them together, it's more than 4.3 cents a kilowatt hour. But if you don't look carefully, it looks like it's 4 cents a kilowatt hour. So we're happy at Rocktricity to talk to folks and look through your bill with you and explain the programs. But you're right, there's no guarantee, but we expect that there will be a small savings at the end of the 2 years. I don't know if you want to add anything, Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, that really summarizes it. And of course, again, I can't stress enough. Yes, we're very pleased that this should be less expensive. But the big mover here is the renewable energy.
John, do you want to add anything there?
No, I appreciate that. I guess the question I'd have for Sue is those extra charges that are on the RG&E bill, will similar charges continue with the new electricity supplier?
That's a great question, John. And the answer is no. The CCA rate is like an all-in rate. Everything is in that price. So you'll just see the one per kilowatt hour rate listed starting in January if you're in the CCA program.
And the other question a lot of people ask about bills is if you're in the CCA, Will you get two bills? No. This you will still be getting a bill from RG&E. It will have their distribution costs. It will have the CCA supply costs. And as Sue said earlier, a lot of the other functions that RG&E performs, the meter reading, repairs if there are downed lines or anything like that, that remains RG&E. And we have been working with RG&E as we make this transition. This is not happening in a vacuum. RG&E will continue to be an important partner, and it's that collaboration that gives me great comfort that on January 1st, we're going to still flick the light switch and the lights are going to go on. We are not going to see, as residents, we're not going to see a change. What we're going to know is that we have a new source of energy, and it's taken us another step towards sustainability.
I hope that helps, John.
It does help. Could I add one other question?
Yes, sir.
If I could. In the literature that was sent out in the town of Brighton, there was also within that a section that said you could recoup a 5% savings, I believe it's over the course of a year, by actually signing up with, I think it's Source Power, is that right? Community Source Power.
Yes. Yes.
And what could you explain that 5% savings and how that
sure.
works?
That's a separate. It's a separate program. Mentioned earlier that some people already are working with a community solar company, or they may have solar panels on the roof. This is a new opportunity to have community solar at your home, and using the credits that Sue absolutely can explain better than I can. They have guaranteed to us at least an additional 5% savings.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Let me get Paul in Rochester next. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm a City of Rochester resident. Is this program available to city residents? And if not, who do we contact or in our government, or how do we sign up?
Okay, Sue.
Thanks, Paul. I love your question. So actually, both Wednesday and Thursday nights at 7, we will be doing a Zoom presentation for the City of Rochester. Your city government is in the process of implementing this program. They're just a couple steps further behind the folks we have on today. So if you go to Rochester Community Power Events tab, you'll see the Zoom links there as well. So hope to see you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Let me try to work through some more when it comes to email. There's a lot here. Some of this is a little bit duplicating the kinds of questions they're getting, but that's okay. A lot of people popping in and want to know. Doug wants to know, how does today's New York State program differ from a longstanding New York State program where municipalities can have first crack at the less expensive hydropower generation at Niagara Falls? Places like Fairport and Spencerport have been on these programs for decades. There is an element of unfairness in this, since what a municipality purchases is then not available to a regulated utility like RG&E and Niagara Mohawk. That's from Doug. Go ahead, Sue.
Okay, where to start? He's correct that there is a longstanding program, and the municipalities that implemented municipal electric years and years ago got access to the Niagara Falls hydropower, and it is super cheap and inexpensive. And those municipalities were very forward-thinking, and kudos to places like Fairport Village that went with that. Community choice aggregation is an attempt to give residents and small businesses access to negotiating leverage that other large users of electricity already have. And no, it's not equal necessarily to the muni programs, but it's what's available to most municipalities in New York State today.
Okay. Tom wants to know, can you ask Sue and Bill, why do they refer to nuclear as a renewable source? Sue?
Well, I don't think we do. Renewable energy, electricity is defined by the state, and it's hydropower, and it's solar and it's wind, and nuclear is not considered renewable.
That's right. I know I mentioned nuclear. Nuclear is part of the existing supply mix that RG&E uses, but that's not a renewable supply mix. That's their traditional supply mix. No, nuclear is not part of community choice aggregation at all.
Sue, separately, given that you educate on climate, I know there's debate about nuclear. How much do you see nuclear as a future component of the energy solution?
Speaking personally, I think nuclear is well worth exploring, especially with the newer designs that are available and being developed around the world. But there are plenty of peer-reviewed engineers who have looked at this issue and feel we can meet 100% of our needs through renewable sources. And there's no way to really isolate nuclear purchasing for CCA programs. So it's either you're either doing 100% renewable or you're kind of doing what's available through the system mix. So.
All right. On the phone, Dave in Irondequoit is next. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, guys. Hey. I've been involved with energy for many, many years. I used to be an energy auditor for Rochester Gas and Electric, and I've helped neighbors, et cetera. Anyway, I just wanted to say to your listeners that this is an outstanding offer. I mean, in the past, trying to go for a renewable energy source, you were always paying much more. And now, this program that you're talking about, you're actually paying less for renewable energy. It's a no-brainer. That's great. I'm very happy to hear it.
All right. You're not calling to tell us there's any sort of hidden fine print they're trying to snow us on here, Dave.
Not that I'm aware of. And like I said there, I'm, you know, a subject matter expert, so to speak.
I love what the caller said. No, that's not a plant.
Sometimes, you know, we wonder. We don't always know. No, Dave, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the phone call. Well, let me ask everyone to sort of weigh in a little bit there. I mean, Bill, is it as simple as that? I mean, are you hearing from people like Dave who say sort of about time?
Well, yeah, I guess the best place, you know, I'm pretty active on social media, have been talking a lot about our community choice aggregation on my own Facebook and Twitter. And overwhelmingly, yes. People are responding in a very positive way. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for bringing it here. You know, like the mayor and the city manager said, this is something that took several years of due diligence. I was particularly swayed to see how the program has worked in Westchester County, a very populous community where municipality after municipality, they saw how the program was proceeding, they saw how well it was working, and they wanted to join. And I think that's what we're seeing here. I'm very pleased that we are the first in Monroe County to do community choice aggregation. But as Sue just said, Rochester is looking at it very closely. We've been working with Pittsford, Irondequoit. We know they're looking at coming in, and I do. I think this is going to be a program, A, that is a no-brainer, but B, it's a program that we are going to see more and more throughout this region.
Mayor Hedden, how much have you taken a look at what's happened elsewhere with these kinds of efforts?
Well, I totally agree with Bill when it comes to the Westchester pilot program. I mean, that's been in existence since 2016 and going strong and getting stronger. So that is a pretty good testament right there. And, you know, the callers have had great questions today. And the last caller's point about I don't know how to frame it, but he, you know, him being in the business, understanding the business, and he saying this is a good deal, that should tell people something right there. And I think that maybe it's an okay comparison if you look at electric vehicles. Not very long ago, an electric vehicle was simply out of reach for the average American. And it's still maybe slightly so that way, but it's improved to the point where all the car makers now are making electric vehicles to some degree. And that seems to be increasing. And the demand, I think, is what drives that. People want clean energy. I think they realize the value of that. So I think it's the same thing with the CCA program. It's beginning to gain some steam, which is creating demand for suppliers. Therefore, we can get the price down to more reasonable rates. And I think it's, you know, a supply and demand like a typical capitalism situation. And that's a great thing, and it's very encouraging.
Manager Goodwin, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, just top off of that is it is about demand. You know, if we want to have renewable energy as our future, we have to create the demand for it. And these community choice aggregation programs do that, just that. And it's not just on an individual basis, but an entire community.
All right. Well, Sue, I've got a pile of questions from email. Let me rip through as many as I can here. Rick says, so there will be one bill from RG&E, and it will have the negotiated per kilowatt hour plus the regular RG&E fees. Is that correct?
It will have the RG&E delivery fees, which you already pay, and it will have for supply just the one CCA rate. One bill.
Yeah, I can't stress that enough. Those other two fees that Sue mentioned that are on the RG&E supply bill now will not be part of your bill once you go to a CCA.
Okay. And let's see here. Phil in Brighton. How can the entity setting this up guarantee the price charged even at demand peaks? What happens if there is a dry summer and there is little water to drive turbines, or the wind does not blow? There are periods during heavy consumption when the generator's charges are very high. I can see why RG&E can guarantee rates, given a fixed price plan, but fail to see that the financial wherewithal to do this can be guaranteed under the current offer. Please explain. I'll start with Sue.
Sure. So the ESCO, the source power, is factoring risk into their offering. And they have decided that having the business for these three communities is worth them offering it at this price. And it's guaranteed for 24 months. It's contracted for that. And that's really all there is to it. And the electrons that are flowing on the grid, of course, as we all know, are coming from all kinds of different sources. And what we are really talking about is creating demand through purchasing. And we are guaranteeing that your purchases will be at this price.
Okay.
Yeah, the town, yep. We don't guarantee the price. We have the contract with Source. And you know, Sue mentioned futures contracts and everything else. I mean, they are a wholesale power supplier, and through their different means, they have a contractual obligation to us to provide the electricity at that fixed price. And it, you know, retail prices, the ongoing prices, you know, can fluctuate. But through those commitments that they have, yes, they guarantee the fixed price to us.
All right, I got a bunch more. We'll try to keep squeezing. John in Fairport wants to know, Sue, are subsidies being used for this?
No.
That was the fastest answer. Thank you, John. Mary Lou wants to know, regarding community solar, if you sign up now for community solar, what happens if your town, for example, Irondequoit, adopts community choice aggregation in the future, Sue?
Nothing. Both of those programs work well together and maximizes your savings and maximizes your commitment to renewable energy.
Okay. Let's see here. Boy, there's so much. Rick followed up to say, Rick followed up to say, communities that sign up early can supposedly leverage savings in other areas. Do these savings get passed on to the consumer, or does the municipality reap the benefits?
I think he's referring to access to NYSERDA grant funding. And if that's the case, that's something that the municipal governments would access for other programs that they want to implement in their town or village or city.
Yeah.
If I could just jump in.
Yeah.
And clarify, other sustainability projects is what that grant money would go for, mm-hmm. not just into the general budget.
Okay. Ann wants to know, the more we do this, are we putting RG&E out of business? Bill Maley, you seem to think no.
No, because they will continue to distribute the electricity. Utility regulation, deregulation a number of years ago changed things pretty dramatically, separating the supply side and the distribution side. Under that deregulation system, RG&E actually doesn't profit from the supply. They profit and their distribution rates are set through the Public Service Commission process. But no, they are going to still be in business delivering the electricity and doing all okay. of the other support work.
Hey, Sue, Ann wants to know, are you talking to Greece?
I would love to talk to Greece.
Sounds like you're not talking to me.
Reach out to me.
Okay.
Email me, Ann.
Yeah, not yet, Ann. And then, Wendy, real quick, I live in Brighton. My energy carrier is Just Energy, not RG&E. Will I have to contact them to switch over and become part of this new program? Sue?
Yes.
Bill. Yeah, that's a yes.
Yes, so. call Monroe Community Power. They'll work with you to get out of your current ESCO, and then you'll be in a position to be part of CCA.
Supervisor Bill Maley, Mayor Gary Head, and Manager John Goodwin from Brighton, Victor Canandaigua, thanks to all three of you, and Sue Hughes-Smith from Rocktricity. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks,
Evan.
Everybody.
And Rob Braden, Engineer Megan Mack, Producer. I'm Evan Dawson. We'll talk to you tomorrow.